Hey everyone, I am Reva and just want to take a moment and thank you for listening to our studio podcast. Although we are here in Greenville, South Carolina, we are grateful for your support to see the message of Jesus go out all over the world. In case you are not aware, we have a YouTube channel, which you can find the link in our podcast bio. We hope you enjoy this week's talk and it encourages you and it helps you to be the human God designed you to be. So with that, let's get right to it.
Reva.
Hey, y'all. I was like, oh, is that Summer No Longer Jax? You know, right there. Welcome. That's what I wanted to say. Good morning, y'all. We're here. And we're going to talk about some stuff in the Bible today. Is that all right? They were making fun of me because I had like 15 slides. I do have 15 slides. And they're like, what? I was like, we're just going to read a lot of scripture today. So it's mostly all scripture on the slides, okay? Now, I'm going to go a little old school today. And I'm going to start off with a little prayer. Is that all right? All right. Yeah, so God, we come just, God, ready to hear from you. God, we pray that every word that goes forth, Father, is your words that our hearts are ready to receive. And we pray for clarity. We pray for, God, wisdom to receive, wisdom to give, wisdom to speak. We pray that you are glorified in everything that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, if you have a device, it'll be on the screen. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I said, it's going to be a lot of scripture, so hang tight. It said, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, all right? I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. I always thank God for you and for the gracious gifts he has given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly await for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, just like the song said earlier. And he has invited you into partnership, or some versions say fellowship or friendship, with his son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Moving on. Now I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to stop arguing among yourselves. Let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying, I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying, I follow Apollos. Others, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. I love Paul. I do. He said, for now, no one can say they were baptized in my name. Then he remembers, oh, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus, but I don't remember baptizing anybody else. I love Paul. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech and high-sounding ideas, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. We still got a little bit more to go. Keep hanging. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. And as the scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching, my goodness, to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it's foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. The foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think that they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose these things. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring nothing that what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. This is the last piece, y'all. God has united you with Christ. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom himself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scripture says, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. If you're taking notes today, my title is Give Us Wisdom. And you know, when we read scripture, we have to look at the background. And so when we look at the background of what we just read, we know that Paul is the author, and we know that he's writing to the church in Corinth. Everybody on the same page with that one? Now, the city of Corinth was diverse socially and racially. It was a city that many people were relocating to because there were a lot of opportunities for people to have better lives for themselves. And the next slide says, a commentator was saying that Corinth was unique in its day. The continual influx of ambitious immigrants energized the Corinthian marketplace with an unparalleled self-sustaining vitality that continued to lure others to Corinth, okay? Corinth was a perpetual boom town, growing from 3,000 colonists to 100,000 inhabitants in less than 100 years. So you can picture New York or Chicago in the early 19th century or Los Angeles in the 20th century. So those who live in urban America would have felt very much at home in Corinth. It was a potpourri of faces, foods, dress, goods, entertainment, get-rich schemes, little g gods, and a whole bunch of ideas. And I love that he included it. It even had an open-air shopping mall. I love that, okay? And I think it's great for us to understand what Corinth was like as we're reading what I just read to you, so you can understand that the church of Corinth was, at the time of this letter, just about 5 years old, okay? These were new believers. These were not, as we call it, the seasoned saints. These were not people that had been walking with the Lord for decades upon decades. These are people that just found out about this Savior that they're living for, and they are just trying to figure it out. In the midst of a crazy culture. Craziness around them. And they're trying to figure out how to live this thing out. And they're meeting in homes, okay? Various homes. And usually it was probably the person who was like had the most money, you know, because their home was bigger. They could have more people in their home. So can you imagine what it was like? People from these different socioeconomic backgrounds all coming together. They have different life experiences. I had this picture in my head when I was preparing for this. I was like you got like this one guy with some crazy Greek name, you know, who has like these ancient artifacts that are so precious from precious jewels. And then you got somebody else coming in and it's like, hey, what happens if I juggle this? Ha ha. And he's like, they're like from different worlds, right? Different worlds trying to figure out how to live out this thing together. And then we find out that they actually end up arguing about some things. They end up quarreling about some things. And so that's why I love Paul. Because Paul is definitely one of my favorite people, as I said earlier, because he gives a pastoral touch in his letters. He always keeps the main thing the main thing. And he helps us to keep our eyes on what's important. And I know today, I don't know if y'all have seen it, a lot of people today talk about, man, if Paul was around today, the American church would be getting a letter. We'd be getting a letter. We would be getting a letter about some things that we're seeing and how we're treating one another and how we're living this thing out. We would get a letter. But the great part about the letters that he's already written is that if we use wisdom and we open our hearts, we actually can get a bit of course correction for ourselves, even in those letters as well. Another thing I love about Paul is he uses the sandwich method. You know, he comes in with his little greeting. Hello, guys, brothers and sisters of Christ. He builds them up. Well, first, he reminds them who they are, which I love. He reminds them who they are in Christ Jesus. He builds them up. He encourages them. Then he gets to the meat. And now let me tell you why I really wrote you today. Let's course correct you. And then he ends it with a nice little exhortation of love. I'm like, come on, you better practice that sandwich method, Paul. And that's what he does. Starting right here, we're going to look back at verse 4. It says, I always thank my God for you and for the gracious gifts that he's given you now that you belong to Christ Jesus. Because through him, God has enriched your church in every way with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. And this confirms that what I told you about Christ is true. I love the kind of little there. He says, so now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly await for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like you have the tools that you need now that he has given them to you. And I love how he sets it up in this last verse. He said, because God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his son. Like I said, some versions say fellowship. You can't fellowship with his son without fellowshipping with one another. So he sets it up for him. He's like, all right, let me just tell you what we're doing. Then we get to verse 10. It says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to stop arguing among yourselves. Everywhere that we go nowadays, you turn on social media, somebody's arguing. You turn on the news, somebody is arguing. You go to Thanksgiving, somebody is arguing. Sometimes on some of your jobs, somebody is arguing. And here he's telling them, can we get back to the main thing? What's the main thing? He says, let there be real harmony so that there won't be any divisions in church. Be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Can we remember what the purpose of our mission is? And he says, because some people are saying, well, I follow Paul. Well, I follow Apollos. Well, I follow Peter. Well, I only follow Christ, you know? And if we look at our world today, we have some of these same arguments happening today. Whether we're following individuals, whether we're following voices, whether we're following movements, whatever those things are, we're following those things and we're missing the purpose. We're missing our purpose. And I love how Paul started asking questions. Verse 13, he says, has Christ been divided into factions? That's like, Paul, now come on. So was I, Paul, crucified for you? He's like, let me bring you back to reality that Jesus is the only reason why we gather. Jesus is the only reason why we live. Jesus is the only reason that we do the things that we do. It is not me. It is not anybody, any philosopher that you're trying to follow or anybody you're trying to attach yourself to. It has to come back to Jesus. And he said, for verse 17, for Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech and high-sounding ideas, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. I titled this message, Give Us Wisdom Today, because we need wisdom. We're listening to a lot of things. There's a lot of information coming at us from every angle. A lot of voices sharing things that they even say, this is truth. But we can't be blinded by high-sounding ideas. We can't be blinded by things that appear to be good. I think it was, I saw somebody say yesterday, they shared this, a friend of mine shared this, that back in Isaiah chapter 5, it says, you know, woe to you that, you know, accept good for evil and evil for good. Everybody say, give us wisdom. Because we cannot lose the power of the message of the cross. The power of the message of the cross cannot get tainted. The power of the message of the cross cannot lose its value. There's a world that is out there dying. And we in here fighting. Verse 18 says, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. It says that this knowing that that message of the cross is the very power of God is important for us as believers because understanding is the starting point for our lives to be transformed. And not just our lives, but everyone that encounters this message of the cross. The power that is within that message needs to be on display in our lives daily. Is that message of the cross on display in your life every single day? Is that message of the cross on display when your thumbs get to tapping and your fingers get to clicking? Is that message of the cross on display in your lives every single day? So we have to preach that message and we also have to live that message. Verse 19 says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. This was a warning from Isaiah to not lean on human wisdom for spiritual matters. I'm going to say it again. That we are to not lean on human wisdom for spiritual matters. Every day we're walking, we're looking at flesh and blood. And what we start doing? Fighting against flesh and blood. But once again, my buddy Paul, he told us back in Ephesians that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual darkness, and wickedness in high places. We cannot fight that with human wisdom. We need divine wisdom. We need wisdom from heaven in order to see things from heaven's perspective. Because when you are operating out of human wisdom, you are only operating from your human perspective. So everybody say, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Now, here at Studio, one of our culture words or culture phrases is wisdom and intelligence. And people come to that and they're like, why is that a part of the church and all those types of things? But we strongly believe that in order to be fully alive in Christ, that you, when you're fully alive in Christ, you have complete full access to God's wisdom and God's intelligence. That you don't actually have to, you, if you're relying on your own, you're not fully alive. Okay? So we believe and we value wisdom and intelligence, but only when it comes from above. So when we're talking about wisdom and intelligence and we're talking about the shortcomings of human wisdom, we do have to talk about AI, artificial intelligence. Now, I love when I see people say, man, I miss the days when AI used to just be Allen Iverson. You know, and that was for the sports, you know. AI back in the day, if you follow basketball back in the day, you heard AI, it only meant Allen Iverson, okay? Now, AI, artificial intelligence, so we gotta add all these things in. So it's in the name, y'all. It's in the name. Artificial, it's not real. And sometimes when human wisdom begins to fail us, now we have computers that we try to enter into the conversation and try to get this artificial intelligence. But guys, when we are fighting for our lives to figure out what's real and what's true, we have to have wisdom. I mean, they are making videos and pictures look like anything these days. Okay? I remember there's a picture of Caitlin Clark going around. You can put that picture of Caitlin Clark up. There was this picture of Caitlin Clark going around, and everyone was like, oh my God, she's so jacked. Man, she really got buff. She really woo-woo. And a certain individual said, man, you seen Caitlin Clark? She really got buff. And this is what my face looked like. I want everybody to see my face. I said, now, how do you think that's real? Like, oh, I think it's real. And it got me thinking. I was like, when you believe something is real, you will allow your eyes to deceive. If you want to believe it, feel like Johnny Cochran right now. If you want to believe it, your eyes will deceive it. You know, like... But we have to realize that, guys. We have to realize sometimes we can believe a thing so much that when somebody puts something in front of us, we will make that thing gold. We will say, act like Jesus himself came down and said it and did it. But this is why we need the divine wisdom of God to be able to discern things that are not real. We have to be able to discern things that are not true, even if it says that it is. Okay? Whew, all right, I'm cooking, y'all. So verse 20 says, so where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of the world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. Well, I say amen to that, because that tells me that God is, he doesn't waste anything. Sometimes we can look at moments and look at people and be like, oh, I don't know if that was the Lord or not, or that was definitely God. What this scripture tells me is, regardless, if he has creation that wants to believe in him, he's going to get them by any means necessary. So that is a amen. Thank you, Lord. You can use us in spite of us. But we need wisdom. Verse 24 says, but to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. In this day and age, we can't afford to be discipled by social media. We cannot afford to be, I have friends that scroll on TikTok and they are TikTok theologians at this point. I'm like, oh, bro, you might want to pick up your own Bible and try to find what the Lord actually said, you know? But with that, we can't be swayed with the news and with media and all these different things. We actually have to get back into the Word ourselves. The only way we're going to know what's real and the only way we're going to know what's true is to actually see it with our own eyes, open your Bibles, read it, and allow him to speak to you. It's the only way. I challenge you, honestly, like, maybe just shut off the TV for a little bit. Delete the apps. Maybe there are some friends you probably shouldn't talk to for a little while. Because we don't want to crowd our minds, crowd our ears with the things that are not real. So God, give us wisdom. Give us your wisdom to be able to discern what's true and what's real. Y'all know we're talking about wisdom, so y'all know James 1 had to come into the mix. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So everybody put your hands out in front of you. We just put our hands out as an act of receiving. And Father, we ask for your wisdom. God, we don't want to rely on our own human strength, our own human intellect. But Father, we ask for your divine wisdom to show us what's real, to show us what's true. God, we pray that as we open scripture and we open the word, Father, we pray for divine revelation of your words to our hearts. God, that your word lives and abides in us at the very core of who we are, Father. In order for us to live out the full, complete message of the cross in our lives daily. God, let our lives be messages that don't allow the power of the cross to be tainted. Give us wisdom. Give us courage. God, to be the people that you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. That's it, y'all.
Thanks for listening to today's talk. If you're interested in learning more about Studio here in Greenville, you can go check out our website, studiogreenville.com, and you can give us a follow on Instagram. Our handle is studio.greenville. Have a great week.